Morning, today Daven Pesachim Lamed Vav. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Hamed Beis. We're starting with Tanur Rabbanan, about 6 lines on the bottom of the Amud. Here in the second parak of Pesachim, we just went through the Mishnah yesterday that introduced us to matzah. What is the basic construct of matzah? So we spoke about the grains that are eligible to be used in order to make matzah. The Mishnah yesterday on Lamed Hamed Aleph identified 5 grains and only 5 grains. That one could use to make matzah. All other grains are simply not eligible to make matzah. We spoke briefly yesterday about rice and whether or not rice can be used to make matzah. It cannot. There is a shita out there, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, who's of the position that you could use rice to make matzah, but we do not subscribe to that viewpoint. That is not accepted. There's a contrast to that as well, which is that rice cannot become chametz, meaning Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that rice can become chametz, but we who do not allow for rice to be used for matzah, so that means rice also is not eligible to become chametz. Briefly yesterday, we spoke about the minig Ashkenaz of kitnios, obviously it's a minig Ashkenaz, and it's not going to come up in the Gemara itself. We discussed yesterday at on the Amud Beis a lot of the intersection that exists between the mitzvah of matzah, which obviously is agricultural. You're going to be using one of the 5 grains, and many of the other agricultural halachas and how they intersect. So we spoke about demai, tevel, chumas meiser, chumas meiser rishon, and so many of the various permutations of all the agricultural halachas and how that is going to affect and influence the mitzvah of matzah. The Mishnah over here, the basic rule of the Mishnah is very straightforward. As long as you did the correct tithing, as long as you properly removed you separated your trumos and your maestros as per the schedule, so then you could use it for matzah. And if you did not tithe properly, so you cannot use it for matzah. That's the basic rule. But then, of course, there are the details, and we went through many of the details in yesterday's daf. We're going to continue with this discussion, and we are continuing on the very bottom of Lamed Hamed Beis. We're starting with the words Tanur Rabbanan. Tanur Rabbanan Yachol Yosi Adam Yechavasal B'Tevel Shelo Nitkan. I might have thought the Gemara entertains over here Hava Amina that a person could fulfill his obligation with eating matzah even though he's using tevel. Now tevel, of course, is untithed, and anything untithed, any produce that's untithed, so it's going to be prohibited to eat from it. So the Gemara's Hava Amina over here is a really strange Hava Amina. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara right now just got caught up in the language of the Braisa. In the Hava Amina, the Braisa writes, I'm going to reread, Yachol, I might have thought, Yosi Adim De Chavasa B'Tevel Shalo Nitkan, where it wasn't corrected. Tevel that wasn't corrected. The Gemara is bothered by the language, called Tevel Nami, Hilo Nitkan. What do you mean, Tevel that isn't corrected? That's the very definition of Tevel. Tevel by definition means it wasn't corrected. There is hafrasha, you have to be separating, and no separation was done over here. So obviously the Gemara is just bothered by the language of the Braisa. What does it mean it wasn't corrected? So Ela B'Tevel Shelo Nitkan called Sarcha. So the Gemara says a chiddush in the Braisa, and that is that you took off most of the hafrashas, but there were some hafrashas that you did not attend to. Shana L'Mimena Truma Gedola V'lo Na L'Mimena Trumas Meiser. Let's say you took off the Truma Gedola, that's the first 2% that you give over to the Kohen, but you didn't take off the Trumas Meiser. That's the 10% taken off of the Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon V'lo Meiser Sheni. Or, alternatively, you took the Meiser Rishon off, but you didn't take off the Meiser Sheni. Or you took off the Meiser Rishon, but you didn't take off the Meiser Ani. Okay, if you know the schedule in terms of which hafrashas need to be done, that's great. If not, now is not going to be the best time to learn it all. But the basic idea is that there's Truma Gedola, there's Meiser Rishon, and then there's a second Meiser. Sometimes the second Meiser is Meiser Sheni, sometimes it's Meiser Ani. It depends on which year of the Shemitah cycle it is. I'll say it quickly. During the first, second, fourth, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, that second Meiser is in fact going to be Meiser Sheni. During the third and sixth year, that second Meiser is going to be Meiser Ani. The point that we're making is that even if you took off most of the Hafrash, you took off Truma Gedola, you took off Meiser Rishon, but you failed to take off Meiser Ani. So still, this is called Tevel, it's called untithed. So Minayin. So now that we've explained what the wording of the Braisa is, the Braisa now is telling us a tremendous Chiddush. And that is, I did most of the tithing, right? You paid most of your taxes, but there's some taxes that you haven't paid. And Meiser Ani, Rashi points out over here, is a tremendous chiddush, because Maaser Ani has no kedusha to it whatsoever. The second tithe during the third and sixth year is to be given to the poor. That does not have kedusha. One could have easily argued that, look, obviously there's a mitzvah to take off Maaser Ani, but to call the remaining produce tevel because I didn't take off Maaser Ani, and Maaser Ani doesn't have kedusha, okay, but that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that still the produce is called tevel until you do all the hafrashas, including up to and including Maaser Ani. So how do I know now that such tevel cannot be used for matzah? Tamar lama lo sochal alav chametz. So the pasuk in Parshas Re, which we've been quoting now again and again, says that you're not allowed to eat it as chametz. So mishi isur mishum bal tochal alav chametz. So it says she isur mishum bal tochal alav chametz ela mishum bal tochal teva. So the Gemara says that over here the only thing that is eligible to become matzah is only something that only is eligible for one Isser and one Isser only, and that would be the Isser of Chametz. If, however, there already is a pre-existing Isser, i.e. Tevel, so then that's simply not eligible to become Matzah. Okay, so it's a drasha. It's a drasha sakra in terms of how we know that when something has the status and designation of being Tevel, so it cannot become Matzah, because Matzah is only something where the only Isser that it's facing or that it potentially could be is the Isser of Chametz, and no other Isser. Now, the Isser of the Chametz, Lehechen Azla. So the obvious question, which is, wait one second. So let's say that I allow the Tevel to become Chametz. Like, where did the Isser go? Meaning, if something cannot become Chametz, so therefore it can't become Matzah. So just because something is Tevel now, it can't become Chametz? Now, physically, it of course can become Chametz, because again, the chametz, the idea of chametz is just simply that it fermented, and it became a puffy bread. But in terms of the status of chametz, what the Gemara right now is entertaining, and not just entertaining, but is going to explain the Braisa, is that when you have something that is already straddled with the isser of tevel, it cannot also obtain the isser of chametz. Now that's very difficult to understand. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, "Lahechan Azel." So where did it go? So Amar of Sheshet Hamani, Rabbi Shimoni, Damar Nisr Chalal Isser. So the Gemara says, "Okay." And here's how we're going to explain the Braisa. We're going to use the principle and the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's of the position of Ein Isr Chal Al Isser, and we're going to take that and apply it over here. And it's going to be a really interesting application. The idea that once the grain in our discussion is straddled with the Isser of Tevel, so there will be no room for the Isser of Chametz to come in, because once something has an Isser on it, it simply will not have the ability to obtain the status of a secondary Isser. This is the idea of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. So we see this Braisa often, because Ein Isser Chalal Isser is a topic that comes up often throughout Shas. And the Braisa reads, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Ochel Nevela B'Yom Kippur and Pater. If somebody eats Nevela on Yom Kippur, he's going to be Pater. He eats it on Yom Kippur. In other words, he eats it B'Shogeg on Yom Kippur. He's going to be exempt, says Rashi, from a Karban Chatas. Meaning that it will not register that he ate on Yom Kippur. Why? In other words, eating on Yom Kippur is an Issa D'Raisa. It's a Chiyuv Kares. If done B'Shogeg, you have to bring a Karban Chatas. And over here, it won't register. Because what you ate already was already Aser. That which you ate already is a Nevela. Nevela is already an Isser. Now granted, the Isser Nevela is even a lighter Isser than that of eating on Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur comes with it an Isser Kares. Eating Nevela is just a Lav. But the point is that Rabbi Shimon, obviously the author of this position, that's how the Braisa opens up. So Rabbi Shimon's of the position that Ein Isser Chalal Isser. That once you have an Isser, it cannot overlay on top of a pre-existing Isser. That's the idea behind Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara applies it over here. Once you have Tevel, so now the Isser of Chametz cannot go ahead and overlay on top of the Isser of Tevel. And even though physically it'll be Chametz, but in terms of a halachic status, it won't obtain the status of Chametz. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. So that's one approach in terms of how to understand the Braisa. How could it be that Tevel cannot become Chametz? Meaning, how can it not obtain the Isser of Chametz? Good, so it subscribes to the Shita Rabbi Shimon of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Before we go on to the second answer, Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi. Rashi over here says that this halach of Rabbi Shimon, that if I eat Nevela on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be subject to the Chiyuvim of Yom Kippur because it's already Aser because of Nevela. Rashi writes over here, let's see the top line of Rashi, Pater Mechatas, the Enes or Yom Kippur, Chal al Isser Nevela, the Im Bo Ba Yom Nis Navla. Rashi says, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you Chiddush. Let's say it becomes a Nevela on Yom Kippur itself. Now here, what would I have argued? I would say, well, Enes or Chal al Isser, you look at whichever Isser is introduced first. So that's the one that sticks, and the second one that tries to superimpose on top of the first one simply does not apply. It doesn't land. And under those circumstances, if the animal became an avela on Yom Kippur, so I would have humbly suggested that the Isser Yom Kippur is there first and the Isser Nevela comes in second. Rashi says that's not the way to understand it. Rashi says, V'im bo ba yom nisnavla, afilo hachi, haisa asura kodem yom ha-kippurim, mishum aver menachai. Still, the Isser of Nevela precedes. Why? Because what's the Isser of Nevela before the animal dies? So Rashi says, well, we do have another Isser while the animal is alive, and that's Aver Menachai. So what happens, says Rashi, is that the Isser of Aver Menachai, which clearly was there before Yom Kippur, obviously, the animal was alive before Yom Kippur, so the Isser of Aver Menachai transitions into the Isser of Nevela. So we look at the Isser of Nevela, even though the animal becomes a Nevela on Yom Kippur, we look at the Isser of Nevela as a carryover of the Isser of Aver Menachai, which obviously came before Yom Kippur. And even in that case, Rashi says, the Isser of Nevela is going to be viewed as if it preceded the Isser of Yom Kippur. Now that's a tremendous chiddush by Rashi. The idea that Aver Menachai transitions into the Isser of Nevela, if you want more on this particular topic, you could see Tosos right over here on our daf, top Tosos on the Amud, who struggles understanding this position of Rashi. Anyway, but it's certainly a worthwhile endeavor to go through Rashi, Tosfos over here, and try to have a better understanding of Rashi, how Aver Menachai transitions into Nevela. In the meantime, however, we're continuing in the Gemara, a second attempt to explain the Braisa. The Braisa says that when you have Tevel, so it cannot become Chametz. Then we have a Drasha. So Ravina Amar Afilo Temer Rabbanan Mishi Yisurim Mishum Bal Tochel Chametz Bilvad Yatzezeh Sheini Yisurim Mishum Bal Tochel Chametz Bilvad Ela Af Mishum Bal Tochel Tevel. So a second way to attempt to explain the Braisa over here. The Braisa over here, maybe what the Braisa means is that the Drasha that teaches me that the only thing that's eligible to become matzah is only something that becomes chametz and only chametz, meaning maybe the author of the Braisa is not Rabbi Shimon, maybe there can be room for a second Isser to land over here. However, the only thing that's eligible to matzah is something that only has the Isser of chametz and not the Isser of chametz and the Isser of tevel. Maybe that's the way to understand the Braisa. The advantage of explaining the Braisa that way is that we're no longer limited to explain the Braisa Aliba, the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and we could suggest that this Braisa is even working with the position that says that Isser is in fact going to be Chal on top of another Isser. So the Gemara says, fine, it's a nice attempt, but midi bilvad ksiv. The Gemara says, yeah, but textually does not fit into the language of the Braisa. The Braisa simply says that there's no room for the Isser of Chametz. It didn't say that the only thing that can become matzah is that which in of itself can become chametz and only chametz and no other iser as well. The Braisa didn't say that. So the Gemara says, Elam achvarta kid Rav Sheshis' explanation that the Braisa is authored by Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says it really just fits in better textually to the Braisa. Adkan, that takes us to the first part of today's daf. The question of what if one were to eat matzah that is tevel. Tevel over here means that you did not separate all the tithing. You took off Truma Gadol, you took off Trumas Meiser, you just failed to take off that last Meiser, either Meiser Shein or Meiser Ani. So it's not going to qualify as matzah. Why not? So the Gemara had a drasha and an explanation of the Amoraim, who the author of that Braisa is. Good. One thing, however, so interesting, the Gemara does not bring up over here, and that is, if you think about it for a moment, let's just consider the discussion that we're having. Eating matzah that is comprised of tevel. Tevel's an iser. The eating of matzah is a mitzvah. So, you could say this in one of two ways. You could say that that this is a mitzvah, the eating of matzah, but done al yidei avera, meaning you're eating iser in order to obtain the mitzvah of achilas matzah. And this is now mitzvah, isn't this a mitzvah abba be'avera? The Gemara does not breathe a word of that discussion. over here. You can see on the margin, on the bottom of the previous Amud, where he directs you to Tosos. Tosos in the Gemara and Sukkah. And Af Lamed. So addresses this question, why does this not fall under the category of Mitzvah HaBa Ba'aver? Why does the Gemara over here not discuss it? Alternatively, if you want another way to look at this, and try to analyze it from a different lens, and that is that I have a mitzvah to eat matzah, there is an iser of tevel. Why don't we say mitzvah saseh is doche the lo saseh? Okay, so there are a number of ways to address this scenario. The Gemara over here does not go with one of the more, what we'll call classic ways, either mitzvah ba bavera or esse doche lo saseh, but the Gemara over here darshans it with a drasha specific to the relationship of matzah and chametz. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to continue in the Gemara. We are going to talk more about the intersection of the mitzvah of eating matzah and other agricultural halachas in Eretz Yisrael. Tanu Rabbanan Yachol, Yotzei Adam Yidei Chavasa B'Maaseh Sheni B'Yerushalayim. So the Braisa over here is going to introduce us to a machlokas tanayim as to whether or not you can use matzah made up of Maaseh Sheni. Now let's get our bearings. Let's anchor ourselves. What is Maaseh Sheni? So that is going to be the second tithing that's taken off in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. What happens with this second Maaseh Sheni? Literally, Maaseh Sheni is the second Maaseh. So you do not have to give it to anybody. There is no recipient of the Maaseh Sheni. You keep it for yourself. However, the Maaseh Sheni has Kedusha. As such, you take the Maaseh Sheni, you bring it up to Yerushalayim, and you eat the Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. Now, that is onerous. The Torah acknowledges to every time that you have Maaseh Sheni, you're going to have to bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. And if you live far away from Yerushalayim, so what are you to do? So the Torah gives a formula for what to do. And that is that you're going to take your Maaseh Sheni, the Kedusha of that produce that you have, redeem it onto money, bring the money next time you go to Yerushalayim, bring the money with you to Yerushalayim, and spend the money on anything that is a food, on anything that is caloric. We just discussed back in Erevin that what you cannot buy with that money is you can't buy water, you can't buy salt, perhaps mushrooms as well. Anyway, that is the halachas of Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni obviously can come from the grains. Maaseh Sheni does in fact come from the grains. And so now let's say you have Maaseh Sheni grains you brought with you to Yerushalayim, and now you want to make it into matzah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So the truth of the matter is now you can kill two birds with one stone. Meaning the eating of Maaseh Sheni is a mitzvah, the eating of matzah is a mitzvah. So why not? Why not take your Maaseh Sheni as you brought it to Yerushalayim, so and make matzah out of your Maaseh Sheni, obviously your Maaseh Sheni grains, make matzah out of it and use it for matzah. So does that work? That's what we're going to be discussing now in this braisa. So Yachol Yotzei Adam Yidei Chavaso B'Maaseh Sheni B'Yerushalayim. So it's a great havamina. I might have thought that it works. Tam lomer lachem oni ma shenochal be'aninos yotzezeh she'en onochal be'aninos ela b'simcha divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Shitas Rabbi Yossi Haglili says it does not work, but for a technical reason. The Torah, when describing matzah, calls it lechem oni. Rav Yossi Aglili's understanding is that lechem oni, even though it's spelled with an ayin, could also be understood as from the word oni, as in lo achalti be'oni mimenu. I did not eat it while I was in a sad state. The Torah describes a aninus as somebody who has just lost one of the seven krovim. That person is halachically an onein. That person is not allowed to eat karban, not even allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in that state. So Rav Yossi Aglili says that by virtue of the fact that the Torah describes the matzah as lechem oni, so the matzah has to be eaten in this state, and since Maaseh Sheni cannot be eaten in that state, so Maaseh Sheni is not eligible to be used for your matzah. Okay, it's an interesting idea behind Rav Yossi Aglili. That Rav Yossi Aglili's understanding is that matzah has to be eaten in a somewhat tempered state, in a non-simcha state. And that in of itself, it's just a little bit challenging to understand, meaning the matzah is eaten on Pesach. Pesach is Yontif. Yontif is a Zman Simcha. So it is a little bit challenging to understand that you are surrounded by Zman Simcha, and meanwhile, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, while you're eating the matzah, so you have to be in a more subdued state. Okay, it's it's a lot to contemplate. But anyway, that sheet is Rabbi Yosef Glili. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzos riba. So the and Rabbi Akiva says no. The repeated usage of the word matzos. So that's inclusionary. We just had this idea in yesterday's daf. We're reviewing it today. Yesterday we used it to teach us that Kohanim could use challah for the mitzvah of matzah, and Kohanim could use truma for the mitzvah of matzah. And Rabbi Akiva says that we're using the same idea, that we could use Maaser Sheni also for matzah as well. Imkein matam alamer lechemoni, probably so shin losha b'yayin v'shem dvash. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, the fact that it says lechemoni, that has to do with the fact that the bread has to be poor man's bread. You can't bake into it wine or oil or honey. It has to be poor man's food. It has to be flour and water and nothing else. So my time to Rabbi Akiva, miksiv lechem oni aniksiv. Now, as far as the back and forth between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili, so the Gemara now is going to revisit this braisa that we just learned together and go over the classic back and forth. What about the fact that it says lechem oni? So Rabbi Akiva will tell you, no, it doesn't say oni. It's written, I mean, we pronounced it oni, but it's written ayin nun yud, oni, which is a reference to the type of matzah it is, not the state of mood that we need to be in. And Rav Yosef Glili, mi karinan ani, oni karinan. Now, Rav Yosef Glili says, yeah, but the pronunciation is oni, that's the Cree. And it could very well be that the machlokus over here between Rabbi Kiva and Rav Yosef Glili is yesh em lamikra, yesh em lamisora. Good. Rabbi Kiva, hi, de karinan be oni kedishmo. Now, Rabbi Kiva says, look, I agree with you that the correct pronunciation is oni, but that gets us to another halacha, separate from the mood that a person has to be in. That's not what it's coming to teach us. It's coming to teach us a different halacha, notably the halacha of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel lechem oni, lechem sh'onim alav darim harbe. That the definition of matzah is that it's something where we respond to the matzah. We talk over the matzah. What are we going to talk about over the matzah? So the Gemara itself is not clear. Rashi over here writes, Rashi sh'onim alav darim, sh'gomrim alav et sahalo. V'omrim alav Haggadah. So we finish the halal and we say the Haggadah, meaning that the Haggadah and the halal are said over the matzah. As we know, for the Seder, for the duration, for much of the duration of Magid, the matzahs are uncovered. And that's a fulfillment of the Gemara that we just learned together. Shmuel says, Dvarim, Lechem She Onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. And also could explain why it is that we start the halal during Magid, because the way Rashi presents it, the aniya, the response that we have to the matzah, is both in terms of telling over Yetzias Mitzrayim and also halal as well. A little bit unusual because we only say the first two paragraphs of halal, we don't conclude the halal. Rashi's language over here is gomrim alavas halal. Okay, right. Not time right now for Seder Torah, but certainly something to consider. Anyway, back to our Gemara. V'savra Rabbi Akiva Isa Shinilosha Beyond V'Shem and Vashlo. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, says that if I have dough that was needed with wine, with oil, with honey, so Rabbi Akiva says it's not going to be fit for the Seder night because it's not lechemoni. The Gemara is bothered because we do have another brisa of Atanya. Ein lash and Isa bePesach Beyond V'Shem and Vadvash V'im lash. Now, the brisa starts off with one should not bake into their matzah, not oil. Let me go in the right order. Not wine, not oil, not honey. And if you do so, if you knead that into the dough, Rabbi Gamliel Amar Tisareif Miad. So Rabbi Gamliel says it's to be burned right away. V'chachamim Amrim Yochal. And according to the Chachamim, you eat it. V'amar Rabbi Akiva. Shafti Haisa Eitzel Rabbi Eliezer V'Rabbi Yoshua. So I was a guest by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. V'lashu lechem isa b'yan v'shem and dvash. And I did, in fact, bake my matzah using any one of these juices, not water. V'lo amar li davar. And they didn't say anything to me. V'afa pishein lashim mekatfim bo. Now, even though you cannot knead, but what you could do is that you could take the wine, the oil, or the honey, and you could smear it on top, right? Much like we take the eggs and we put it on top of the challah, we base it on top of the challah. So over here, you could do that with the matzah. Now, who is the author of that position? So the Gemara interjects for a moment, Usul and Tanakama. That brings us back to the Tanakama. Tanakama says that one should not use wine, oil, or honey as a liquid to knead together with the matzah, with the flour. But you could do keto if you could smear it on top. meaning according to Rabbi Kiva, you can actually bake it into the matzah itself. V'chachamim omrim, back to the brayse, v'chachamim omrim, et she'lashim bo mekatvim bo, v'et she'in lashim bo, ein mekatvim bo. Now the chachamim will say, look, if it's something that, if it's a liquid that I can bake into the matzah, so then I could use it as a shmir on top. And if it's something that I cannot bake into the matzah, then I cannot use it to baste on top. V'shavim she'in lashin es isa beposhim, using warm water, everyone's in agreement that that's out of the question. Anyway, what comes out over here in this brayse is that there's a major debate whether or not other liquids can be used in order to bake the matzah. And it is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that it would be fine. Rabbi Akiva himself acknowledges that he was by Rabbi Eliezer, by Rabbi Yoshua, and he made matzah with these other liquids, with wine, oil, or honey, and they didn't say a word to him. So clearly, he was perfectly fine with it. So, lokasha, abiyam tov rishon, abiyam tov sheni. So the Gemara says, that's fine. There's no steer between what we just learned b'shem Rabbi Akiva and what we saw about 10 lines earlier. 10 lines earlier, Rabbi Akiva says, alechem oni is prat le'isa sheni lo shabiyam v'shem and dvash. You can't use them in order to fulfill the obligation of lechem oni. So, but the Gemara's answer, as you probably already guessed, is that it depends. Matzah the first night versus the matzah for the remainder of Pesach. On the first night, it's not that just we have to eat matzah, that part's true, but on top of that, the matzah that we eat on the first night has to be lechem oni matzah. It has to be poor man's matzah, which means it has to be without any of the other liquids, because that would make it a wealthier matzah. So on the first night, it has to be lechem oni. Yom tov sheni over here just simply means anytime after the first night. Anytime after the first night, so one is allowed to make their matzah using these other liquids. Rabbi Yeshua says to his son, look, on the first night, don't make matzah with milk. But after that, you can go ahead and you can make your matzah with milk. In a moment, we're going to ask the question, that's dairy bread. You're not allowed to make dairy bread. And we saw this a week ago on Daf Lamed, and we're going to revisit it right here, and we're going to do so in just a moment. Meanwhile, however, what comes out over here is that the Gemara has just articulated a major debate amongst the Tanaim as to whether or not one can go ahead and use other liquids to make their matzah. So for Rabbi Akiva, the answer is yes. It just happens to be that on the first night, you have to use only water because of this requirement of lechem oni. After that, you could use whatever other liquids you want. How does this work with yesterday's daf? Yesterday's daf, we learned that the Reish Lakish taught us, you can see the bottom of the Amun Aleph of Lamed Hay. Yesterday's daf, Reish Lakish says, Mei Peros Ein Machmitzim. So what does that mean, Mei Peros Ein Machmitzim? That Mei Peros does not create chimutz. So Rashi, and today's daf, right over here. So Rashi writes, you see the Rashi inside, in Lashon Esa'isa, Shalmatos B'yayim V'shem Medvash, M'mneisha Krova, U'mimaheres La'achmitz V'ein Adem Yachol Shomra, L'fichach Im Lash Tisarf Miyad. So Rashi explains, this happens to be the brisa that we just did a couple moments earlier, the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, that you have to burn it right away. So Rashi says, Tisarf Miyad, you have to burn it right away. Why? So Rashi writes over here, because it's, because if I use not water, but these other liquids, so it's gonna create fermentation, almost instantaneously. And there's no way to stop it, prevent it from becoming chametz. And that's why, according to Rami Gamliel, it has to be burned right away. Skip a couple of lines in Rashi. Ule Reish Lakish. Now, in the parentheses, we have Rav Yochanan, but it should be Reish Lakish. Ule Reish Lakish, Amar Leal, Mei Peros, Ein Machmitzim, Lokasha. Now, what about what we learned in yesterday's daf, says Rashi, that Mei Peros are not machmitz. So Rashi says there is no stira between what we saw today's daf and what we saw in yesterday's daf. Hach di'iyu ein chayav nachimutzu karis kamar. The only thing that Reish Lakish meant is that it doesn't make proper chametz. It doesn't make official formal chametz where you're going to be chayav karis. It'll make an inferior chametz where it's still going to be usher min atar. It's called chametz nuksha. V'lo havi chametz gamar. Rashi says ala chametz nuksha. It turns when I use the fruit juices, so it will translate into an inferior chametz. Klamar rav oso chimutz min hain memharin lachmitz v'ef shalashamram. So the way Rashi describes it is that when I use the other liquids, meaning not water, but wine, oil, or honey. So it creates accelerated chimutz, albeit it creates inferior chimutz. That's the way Rashi understands. That is how you align today's daf with yesterday's daf, which means that according to Shitas Rashi, we pointed this out yesterday, but it's fair to reiterate today. According to Rashi, any time that you use any other liquid to make matzah, you will not be able to eat it on Pesach. You won't be subject to the karis penalty for eating it. It's inferior chametz. What we're going to describe as chametz nuksha, a term that we're going to use often in this mesechta. But nevertheless, though, it's still a version of chametz, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. That is Shitas Rashi, Rashi in yesterday's daf, and Rashi says it clearly, articulates it clearly in today's daf as well. We noted yesterday that Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, takes significant issue with this position of Rashi. You go back to yesterday's daf, you see the Tosos on the top of Lamed Hamed Beis, where Rabbeinu Tam articulates his position, where he does not agree with his grandfather, and it won't be the first time there's disagreement between Rabbeinu Tam and his grandfather Rashi. We are going to go back to our Gemara over here. So you remember Rabbi Yoshua when giving instructions to his son, the first night, do not put the milk into the matzah. Rabbi Yoshua is aligning himself with the shitas that you are allowed to introduce other liquids into the matzah. So he says on the first night, don't put milk in because it has to be lechem oni. But from that point going forward, so he tells his son, for sure put milk into it. It's going to make the matzah delicious. So the Gemara v'hatanya ain lashon nesaisa b'chalav v'im lash kol apasa surim imnei hergol avera. And here now the Gemara asks the question, you're not allowed to make dairy bread. Making dairy bread is an iser derabanan. As one of the safeguards to make sure that we don't violate the iser of bas b'chalav, so the Chachamim legislated that all bread has to be parv. If we were to make dairy bread, so then the problem would be is that we assume that bread is parv because that is most of the time the case. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take our dairy bread and we're going to put deli on top of it and we're going to eat it together and we're going to be violating it basa b'chalav. In that scenario that I just laid out, it won't be nisa d'raisa, it would be nisa d'rabban, it's cold and cold. But anyway, but we understand. Bread is legislated to be parv. So how can Rabbi Yoshua instruct his son to be introducing milk into the matzah, violating nisa d'rabban? The Gemara says cannot fathom. So ela achikam. So the Gemara says, you're right, it has to be that we got the Masorah slightly incorrect. And this is the correct way to say it. So Yuma Kamalotilosha lo bidufsha, mikanveilach lushili bidufsha. So just take out milk and substitute it with honey. Good. So put honey into the matzah after the first night. Ibai semalolamachava kadama ravina kein tura shari hachanami kein tura. Or the Gemara says alternatively could be milk, meaning could be that we got it right, that it was milk, but there is an allowance, meaning even in the Issa Durabanan of not making milchik bread, but there is going to be dispensation where it would be allowed, and that's when you make it ke'ein tura. Now, literally the words mean ke'ein tura, the eye of an ox. What does that mean? Rashi over here writes ke'ein tura, reading the Rashi, ma'at ke'ein shel shur mutter, ma'at ke'ein shel shur. So Rashi says that if you make the bread in small amounts, in small batches, so then it would be mutter. Why? So Rashi says, "Lalush bechalav de'achol lei miyan bevas achas v'lo mashi lei de linchi shenilos bechalav." So Rashi writes, because if I make it in small batches, we're going to finish it this meal. Meaning we know that this meal is going to be a milchik meal, therefore we're going to make milchik bread for this meal. As long as we make a small batch where we know we're going to finish that amount within this meal, so then that's fine. The only time the Chachamim were concerned is that when there's going to be leftover bread, you're going to use it for a subsequent meal. You have forgotten that this milchik bread was in fact milchik, and then you might maybe violating the Isser Basa B'chalav. So Rashi's understanding that the heter that one is allowed to do in order to make milchik bread is if you make it in small batches, it's one meal's worth of bread. That is Rashi over here. Take a look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Kein Turi, he understands it to mean that you made the bread in an unusual shape. If you made the bread in an unusual shape, under those circumstances, the Chachamim were not goes there, and it would be okay, it would be acceptable. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, where he quotes both of these opinions, and allows a heter for making milchik bread, either like Rashi, if you do so in small batches for just this one meal, or if you made the bread in an unusual shape, right? And see the Shulchan Aruch over there. He talks about various menhagim. Certain times of the year, we go out of our way to use milchik bread. So certain times of the year, we go out of our way to make fleshik bread. See the Shulchan Aruch for more discussion on this topic. V'shavin she'en lashen esa isha v'poshrin. We did make mention in the Braisa that one is not allowed to use warm water to make matzah. That is out of the question. And the idea is that warm water is going to accelerate the chimitz process. And so therefore, you're not allowed to use warm water because then you're just simply not going to have a controlled environment and you're not going to successfully stop the chimitz from occurring. So, maishnam mim menachos. The Gemara says, okay, now most of the vast majority of the menachos in the Beis HaMikdash are matzah, not chametz. There are notable exceptions. The loaves of the Karban Torah, 10 of the 40 loaves of the Karban Torah, and the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos are going to be chametz. Outside of those two, the rest of menachos are all matzah. And meanwhile, now we're going to introduce ourselves to a Mishnah in menachos, that nan kol menachos niloshin b'poshrim shelo yichmetzu. So, I'm sorry, mishamram shelo yichmetzu. So so what you're going to do with the menachos is you use warm water and you just simply be more careful. That's all. So that's the Mishnah menachos. So over here, when it comes to the baking of matzah, so everyone says you can't use warm water. And meanwhile, when it comes to menachos, so we have a Mishnah that says that they use warm water. So the Gemara is answering, Imam Rubizrizim Yomar B'Shein Zrizim. Okay, but that's Kohanim over there and that are making the menachos. And so therefore they're careful. But matzah is baked by the rest of us, and the rest of us aren't as careful. So that's why we shouldn't use warm water. Yachi, milsas nami lasis. Now, what about the process of lisisa? Lisisa is the soaking of the grain prior to grinding it. The soaking of the grain helps remove some of the outer layers, and it's just simply going to be a better bread that is made. And the soaking of the grain is going to be forbidden. So Alama Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabba Bar Yirmi, Amar Shmo Chitim Shal Menachos Ein Losisin Osa. So why is Lisisa not allowed for a mincha? We said that Menachos are prepared by Kohanim, we're very careful. So let them do Lisisa as well. And it's going to make for a better grain and a better mincha. And what are you worried about? The fact that I'm soaking it. So now it's more primed to become chametz. Yeah, but that's the Kohanim. And aren't they super careful? So the Gemara says, Lisha bizrizim, Isa, Lisisa, Lesa, bizrizim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the kneading of the mincha is done by the Kohanim, so therefore we're not worried. The Lisisa can be done even prior to that point in time. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Technically, are you right? Velisha mi Isa bizrizim v'aksiv, v'yasek ala shemen, v'yavi ala kohen, mikamitza ve'ela mitzvah kohuna, limed al yitzika u belila, shikshir b'chol adam. So the Gemara says that as far as the process of the of a mincha kemitza, when the kohen takes his fist and puts it into the mincha to take out a kometz, that's mikahuna ve'elech. That's the time that kohanim have to be involved. Any process earlier, including the kneading of the dough, that can be done by non-kohanim. So you're telling me that the lisha has to be done by kohanim? We just learned together that that's not true. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Lisha nihi dibizrizim lesa. You're right that the Lisha is not done necessarily by Kohanim, but it's done in the Azara under Kohanim supervision. Now it's true that the Belila, that's the kneading. So it's done with a non-Kohen, Chutzachomas Azara, Psula. But however, if it's done outside the Azara, it would be Pasul. But the Lisha, the kneading, has to be done in the Azara, even though it can be done by non-Kohen. Therefore, it would be done by non-Kohen, but under Kohanic supervision. That's why we're not worried about chimutz. How lafuki lasisa, but when it comes to the soaking of the kernel, the ina bizrizim velo b'makom zrizim, neither is it done by the Kohanim, nor is it done in the azara, the makom zrizim. So then under those circumstances, we're worried. So the Gemara says, okay, but when it comes to the Mincha Saomer, Lisisa is allowed for the Mincha that's offered on the second day of Pesach. Now, for two reasons, by the way, we don't want it to become Chametz. One, because it's a Mincha, and all Minchas are not Chametz. Two, it also happens to be Pesach as well. Anyway, we clearly don't want it to become Chametz. And meanwhile, Lasisa is allowed over there, and you told me that this process of soaking of the kernel is not allowed even for a mincha. And for the mincha somer, it's allowed. So the Gemara says, Sibor Shani. The mincha somer is done by the community. Rashi has a second pshat, but he doesn't like his second pshat. Rashi's first pshat is that since the mincha somer is done by the community, therefore, the community is going to be more careful about making sure that it doesn't become chametz. You have supervision over the carbon omer. Five lines from the bottom on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're continuing in the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. And here, more discussion of intersection of agricultural halachas and that of matzah. Earlier this morning, we went over a matzah of Meister Sheni, whether that could be used. Machlokes HaTanaim, Rav Yosef Glila and Rabbi Akiva. And now the Gemara is going to be discussing the matzah of Bikurim. The first fruits of the seven minim are to be brought to Yerushalayim, put in the basket, brought to Yerushalayim, put on the Mizbech, taken off the Mizbech, given to the Kohanim. And this is part of the Matnas Kahuna, the Chavdal Matnas Kahuna. And this these Bikurim are to be eaten by the Kohanim. Of the Bikurim, so two of the seven Minim that are going to be given to the Kohen are going to be wheat and barley. Can our Kohen take his wheat and barley Bikurim and make matzah out of it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? Good. So here we are right now with another intersection. So Shita's Rabbi Yossi Haglili is that the Kohen cannot use Bikurim, because Bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and Matzah has to be something where at least potentially it can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael or anywhere in the world, and so therefore Bikurim doesn't qualify. Hopefully what you're wondering right now is, isn't the same thing true regarding Meister Sheni? Meister Sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, so why didn't we have this idea express itself by Meister Sheni? I hope you're wondering that. Hold that question. We're going to come back to that later on. Rabbi Kiva Omer Matzah Samarur, Mamarur She'eno Bikurim, Av Matzah She'eno Bikurim. So Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yossi Haglili that you cannot use Bikurim for your matzah, but for a different reason. Look, we know that matzah is eaten together with Marur. We also know that Marur is not one of the seven Minim. Marur has to be something bitter. All the seven Minim are not bitter. Tosfos over here has an interesting discussion. You know, olives are a little bit bitter. Maybe olives can be in the center of that Venn diagram of Marur and Bikurim. But Tosfos says no, it's not. It's not bitter enough. And anyway, see the bottom Tosfos. But anyway, so Marur cannot be Bikurim. So af matzah shena Bikurim. So matzah also, even though matzah you could make from Bikurim because of the seven species of Bikurim, two of them are wheat and barley. So even though Bikurim can come from matzah, but because Marur is excluded from Bikurim, so matzah also is going to be excluded from Bikurim as well. So the Gemara says, really, why don't we take that argument and bring it to its logical conclusion? You know, Marur by definition cannot be brought from Bikurim, so why don't I say the same thing regarding matzah? Matzah cannot be brought from Bikurim. Now that is that's going to be a little bit difficult to understand because of the seven species of Bikurim, two of them are wheat and barley. We also learned in yesterday's daf that spelt is a subcategory of wheat, and that oats and rye are a subcategory of barley. So if you knocked off anything that could be used for Bikurim as a candidate to make matzah, so what have you just knocked off? So presumably, wheat and all of its subcategories, barley and all of its subcategories, you just knocked off all the grains that one can make matzah. So it is difficult to even entertain what the Gemara is entertaining right now. But let's at least go along for the ride of the Gemara. So why don't I say that just like Marur cannot be used from one of the seven species of Bikurim, why don't we say the same thing as well as matzah? So why don't I exclude chita and saora, wheat and barley, as they could be used for Bikurim? So tamalomer, matzos riba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have our ribui. The Torah's usage of the word matzos multiple times tells us that no, that matzah is in fact can be made from wheat and barley. So imatzus matzus riba afilo bikurim nami. So the Gemara says, okay, but once I have the ribui, so why don't I just simply say that I can use bikurim in order to make matzah? So the Gemara says, how debe Rabbi Kiva detanya? So the Gemara says, you're right. You know what? Rabbi Kiva was chozer. Meaning Rabbi Kiva says that the exclusion of bikurim, it came from our comparison of matzah and maror. The Gemara says, abandon. Rabbi Kiva abandons that approach. And how do I know that? Detanya, because we have the following braisa. Yachol yasa adam yidei chavasa bikurim tamalomar, b'chol moshoseichem tokul matzos, matzah nechels b'chol moshavos, yatsu bikurim she'eno nechel b'chol moshavos, ela b'Yerushalayim. So here in the braisa, this braisa right now, unidentified who the author of the braisa is, but this braisa clearly is articulating that the reason why bikurim cannot be used for matzah is a function of the fact that it is to be eaten, it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and matzah at least potentially can be eaten anywhere in the world. Yachosh ani motzi av ma'aser sheni, what about ma'aser sheni? Ah, the question which I put on the back burner. We're taking off the back burner. Now, what about ma'aser sheni? Ma'aser sheni is also limited to Yerushalayim. Tamal amar matzos matzos riba. We have a ribui for ma'aser sheni. So the Gemara's obvious question. Ma'ariz l'rabos ma'aser sheni l'otzi bikurim. Okay, good, you have a ribui. Why is the ribui only coming to include ma'aser sheni as eligible to be used for matzah and not bikurim? Why? So marbani ma'aser sheni sheish lo hetu b'chol moshavos. So the Gemara says ma'aser sheni at least has a chance to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. How does that work? Kid Rebbe El Azar. Mostly ani bikurim she'en lametah b'chol moshavos. So there is a chance to eat ma'aser sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So how does that work exactly? The Gemara goes on to explain. Damar of Elazar minayin. Let's say your Meister Sheni becomes Tamei. So what you could do is that you could be Poda, you could redeem it, and even if after you brought into Yerushalayim, you still could redeem it. The Torah says that you could not se'eso. What does that mean? Just a couple of weeks ago, we read it in Parsha. He gave them food to eat. The word se'es over here clearly is a description of food. And lo yuchal se'eso means that you cannot eat it. What does that mean, you can't eat it? Meaning it becomes tummy, therefore you can't eat it. Under those circumstances, you can redeem it. Man shamalei da'amra b'maiser sheni, nothing bay. Now, here in the Braisa, who is the author of the Braisa? So we're going to do a little detective work. In the Braisa, we just learned that your maiser sheni can be used for matzah, but bikurim cannot be used for matzah. So who said that maiser sheni can be used for matzah? That's today's Amud Aleph. That's Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, and yet he said that bikurim cannot be used. Why can bikurim not be used? Because of the drasha of b'chol moshvoseichem. So what we just got from here is that it's Rabbi Akiva who actually understands that the exclusion of bikurim is a function of the fact that it cannot be eaten throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. Unlike Maaser Sheni, which at least potentially could be eaten in throughout Eretz Yisrael. So Shema Mina Hadar Beis. So we see that Rabbi Kiva was in fact Chozer. Rav Yosef Aglili typically Melechem Oni. Misha Nochal Ba'oni Yasa Zeshin Shein Nechal Ella B'Simcha. The Gemara is bothered by the following. Rav Yosef Aglili said that Bikurim cannot be used. Why? Because it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and Matzah has to be eligible to be eaten anywhere. So the Gemara says, why doesn't Rav Yosef Aglili stay consistent? He excluded Maaser Sheni. Why? Because Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in a state of Simcha, and the matzah has to be eaten lechem oni. And according to Rav Yosef Galili, we learned this in the beginning of today's shir. According to Rav Yosef Galili, lechem oni is there to teach us that the matzah has to be eaten in a state of sadness. Why not say the same thing regarding bikurim? So savala k'Rabbi Shimon detanya bikurim asurim la'onein, Rabbi Shimon matir. So the Gemara says whether or not an oni is allowed to eat bikurim. So that's a point of debate. And what we could suggest is that Rav Yosef Galili agrees with Rabbi Shimon, and Onin is allowed to eat Bikurim. And the Gemara just quickly runs through this. So my time at the Rabban Dechsiv Losucha La'achob Sharechav Amar Masyadcha Elo Bikurim the Itkish Bikurim Meiser. My Meiser Asa La'onein, not Bikurim Asa La'onein. So according to the Shita of the Tanakhama, the reason why Bikurim cannot be eaten as Be'aninus is because of a Hekesh. The Bikurim is located in the same pasuk as Meiser Sheni. just like Maaser Sheni is excluded by cannot be eaten by Nonain. Same thing is true as Bikurim and Rabbi Shimon Truma Karin Rachmana Kitruma Ma Truma Muter Onain Bikurim Muter Onain. And what Rabbi Shimon will tell you is that no, that we also have this idea that Bikurim is basically a form of Truma. And just like Truma can be eaten by an Onain, everyone agrees to that, so too Bikurim can be eaten by an Onain. Rabbi Shimon Nehid Ekesh Leiflei Simcha Mia Michtav Ksivebei Behu Dichsiv V'Samachta B'chol HaTov. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Even if I don't have a Hekesh, even if I don't accept the Hekesh, but isn't there this idea that Bikurim have to be eaten by in a state of Simcha? In the Parsha of Bikurim, it says V'Samachta B'chol HaTov. What are you going to do with that? So how is man simchu da'asa? No, that's not telling us the state that you need to be in when eating the bikurim, but it's just simply talking about the time of year. Didnan mi'atzeres v'adachag from Shavuos until Sukkos, maybe vikorei. So you're going to bring your bikurim, and that is a time of simcha, and therefore you're going to be korei. You're going to be reading the parsha of bikurim. That's the mitzvah of amira. The Arami Ovid Avi, etc. Me'achag v'achanaka from Sukkot to Chanukah, maybe v'enu kore. So you're going to bring, but you're not going to have the mitzvah of Amira. You will not be making the declaration of Arami Ovid Avi. It's not Ezman Simcha. Fine. We'll stop over here. You're good. Well, we'll stop over here. Let's quickly recap our daf today. We started off with a discussion regarding eating matzah made up of tevel. The Gemara does not utter a word of mitzvah baba avera, but we have a drasha that tells us that matzah which is tevel is, or let's say bread which is tevel, right? Unleavened bread which is tevel is ineligible to be used as matzah. Why? Because there are other yisurim that are there, and the only isser that matzah could potentially become is only the isser of chametz, but no other yisurim. Okay, so we have a drasha. The Gemara aligns us with the position Rabbi Shimon Avein Isser Chalal Isser. We spoke about that topic briefly. Anyway, our first topic of today was eating matzah's tevel, which you cannot do. You cannot be yotzei with the mitzvah of matzah. Next topic of discussion we had this morning was the matzah of Maaser Sheni. Machlokes Tanayim, Rabbi Yosi Glili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosi Glili says you cannot, because Lechem only tells me that the matzah has to be eaten in a state of sadness, and Maaser Sheni you're not allowed to eat in a state of sadness. That cheats Rabbi Yosi Glili. Rabbi Akiva says no. Lechem only is to tell me other halachas, but not in it's not telling me what mood one can or cannot be in when eating the matzah. Notably, according to Rabbi Akiva, what do we do with lechem oni? Lechem should onim alav dvarim harbe. Good. We went over the Rashi in terms of the Haggadah, in terms of halal. Anyway, machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Glili, whether or not you could use your Maaser Sheni for matzah. Rabbi Yosi Glili says no. Rabbi Akiva says yes. In the course of discussion, using warm water in order to bake your matzah, unequivocally usher. Meanwhile, by Menachos, you're allowed to use warm water. The Gemara noted the difference between the Kohanim, who are more careful, and therefore they're allowed to use the warm water. We went over, I did skip over in the review, we went over again the idea of using other liquids to make matzah, not water, but rather honey, oil, wine. So can those other liquids be used? Machlokas that we saw today. Anyway, Rabbi Kiva did allow for it. Rabbi Yeshua did allow for it, so there were a number of Tanaim that allowed for it. Meanwhile, Rashi says that we do not allow for it. And Rashi goes back to yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday says that Meperos are in Machmitzim, that you could see it on the top of yesterday's Amud Beis. And Rashi says that the only thing the Gemara taught us in yesterday's Daf is that it does not become Chametz Gomer, but it does become Chametz. And Rashi says it becomes a Chametz in an accelerated fashion when I'm not using water, and therefore May Peros cannot be used in order to make any type of matzah. That is Shitas Rashi, and as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, his grandson argues with him. Anyway, that is obviously a real extraordinarily important discussion. Matzah's Bikurim, finishing off today's review, can we use matzah Bikurim? The answer is no. The only thing open for discussion is why can matzah's Bikurim not be used? So we had a drasha of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, we had a drasha of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara noted that Rabbi Akiva ended up retracting and going back to the drasha of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that because the Bikurim cannot be eaten universally throughout the world, so therefore it doesn't qualify as matzah. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva make such a statement regarding Maaser Sheni? So the Gemara's explanation is that Maaser Sheni at least potentially can be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. And that's where we're going to wrap up this morning.